the scale Tesla has over like a Waymo, but the regulation, like realistically, far as out, how far are we away from actually seeing bottom line profits from the robotaxi?
Probably a couple of years away, realistically.
Okay, so, the follow up here is why should the stock be at 326 then?
Why should Tesla be a trillion today?
Yeah, exactly. That's the question.
Right, but that's my rebuttal. Why should Tesla be a trillion today? I think what it comes down to is like Tesla's entire thesis from the very beginning, ever since it came on the stock market, and ever since it turned a profit in 2013, I think it was the first time they had a profit. From that point forward, it seemed like the market was willing to price in future cash flows based on Tesla's advantage. Okay. Yeah. So how do you calculate future cash flows with Tesla specifically? Is the progress they have on their technology, which is significantly ahead of everyone else's, and how quickly they're able to scale up that business. Okay. Tesla's sort of benefit from the very beginning is that they've had this leader that is willing to create different verticals with the underlying technology and foundation they've built with the company, with batteries and artificial intelligence. Okay. They started with the car. The car and the battery storage was the vessel to get that supply chain ramped up for batteries and artificial intelligence, okay? Right. The car was sort of the hybrid of both. And now the ongoing thesis that has been present since Tesla decided to bring self-driving in-house after they ditched Mobileye, and they said, screw it, we're doing it ourselves, and they started with Navigator and Autopilot, then they came out with FSD, et cetera, ever since that moment, Tesla has been sort of this hybrid car energy AI play. But as the years go on, the valuation is going to be based on artificial intelligence. I mean, we see it. It's obvious. Like, if they're successful, if that car can do paid rides in Austin and everywhere else in the country and everywhere else globally, let's say virtually 80% of the population that can afford to ride a robotaxi has access to a robotaxi, it's super easy to just do the math. Right.
So your argument here is the market is pulling forward the growth multiple.
100%.
Because Tesla's not growing right now. But the reason people are excited about Tesla over an Correct. Apple or Microsoft is because you think the potential, the sheer potential of the S-curve from a, we didn't even talk about Optimus, but from a robotaxi itself, that's being priced in today, essentially.
And I don't know how else to justify that than looking at the last few months, what has happened with the rhetoric around. I mean, I saw your post from today. How much worse can the optics look for Tesla? Truly. Literally, Elon Musk, the CEO of the company, left the government with a black eye. We're not even going to talk about how he got it, but he left. The optics of that are already crazy. And then 2 days later, the bro's just losing it on X. And I had to write him an open letter to like say, I admire you, bro, but like positivity, let's go. Positivity, let's go. And to his credit, you know, he read that and he sort of like acknowledged it. We'll see if he actually, you know, if he takes it down the path. But that's the story has been completely like shat on, excuse my French, for the last few months, right? And the stock is fine. And the stock really hasn't done anything. Okay. So I don't know how else to justify than to say the market is thinking about the story like I am. Like retail is. The Wall Street and retail have come together and they're both like, okay, robotaxi seems like a thing that's going to happen. And if robotaxi works, then Tesla all of a sudden has the credence, the sort of like mojo to say the bot's going to work too. And right. The bot is a 10x sort of market than driving, logistics, right? Driving, I think transportation is like a $3-4 trillion industry globally. Labor is like 40 trillion. Okay.
Let me ask you about the spat with Trump and the Epstein stuff. What is your opinion, given you know Elon so well, you've covered him? Why do you think that happened?
I think he is pissed off at Jared Isaacman getting snubbed because that guy seemed like by far the best possible candidate for that position. And I think the administration said, Elon's guy, he's leaving. We can't give him too much leverage. Let's pick somebody else. So that definitely rubbed in the wrong way. I think his Doge efforts have been brutal. Some of it were his missteps. He may have mis-executed on messaging and sort of overpromising. What a shocker, right? Elon tends to overpromise and underdeliver. But his intentions, I found, are always pure. And he really does believe the existential nature behind it. And I do too. And so when this big, beautiful bill is being sold as this big, beautiful bill, but it ends up essentially undermining the effort that Elon went through with Doge, right? And then literally getting a black eye from it and, you know, brand damage, et cetera, et cetera. And then he sees all that work being undone by the swamp. I mean, how can you, like, Elon's criticism in this case is that he was not able to control his emotions, right? I don't blame him to feel the way he's feeling, but Elon's weakness, ever since really we followed him as a CEO of the company, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, both positively and negatively. And I think this is why he can sort of muster the type of support he has, is because I think a lot of people view him as a very transparent person when it comes to how he really feels about the right things to do, right? Yeah. The existential nature of the problems. It's just now he's faced this unescapable vortex of inefficiency and shadiness in the US government, and it won. The swamp won against Elon, and so he's pissed. Can you blame him?
Do you think the Trump-Elon thing dies out? I mean, has it already died out in your
opinion? It has already died out. Bro, the all-in just went, dude, where's the all-in podcast?
That's a good question.
Where's the all-in podcast? Okay, like, isn't that the best signal that says these guys are just trying, they're just gonna let it blow over? They're like, okay, let's just pretend it never existed. Okay, and even Trump's rhetoric from like lately, he's been so amicable, so graceful. These are not words that are associated with Trump ever. What's Trump? He's a bulldog. He likes to fight dirty. He likes to get in the mud. He likes to talk shit. And when it comes to Elon, literally said the reason why the Epstein files didn't come out is because Trump is in them. Globally, the entire planet, from the guy that gave Trump $300 million, essentially said, "Yo, you are like you say, like you've done some crazy stuff." And the guy's like, I really wish Elon the best. If he wants to call me, I'd be up for a discussion. You know, I really like Starlink. Yeah, we're going to move the Teslas around. Huh? you're either massively implicated or you're acting like the bigger person here. Correct. Because you know that this was an emotional outburst. And I mean, this works really well for Trump, because now people that may have seen him as a shoot from the hip person, they're like, oh, okay, no, actually, he's very measured. There's a lot of strategy here. He's a very polished media guy. And Elon can get very emotional when he's dramatically under stress. And when he feels like he's put in a ton of effort and he gets undermined, he's going to act a certain way. But that's his weakness, is that he can't rein that in. But with that comes the other psycho thing, which is the Model Y is driving itself. The best-selling car in the world is driving itself in Austin right now.
You know, people that are extraordinary are going to have some parts of their personality that cause 100%. Them to lash out, and then they're also going to build Neuralink, SpaceX, and Tesla. So that does make sense. Insurance. How do you think Tesla navigates robotaxi with insurance?
Yeah, I think they're going to take that on. I think in most regions, at least in the U.S., so Tesla's already laid out the groundwork for Tesla insurance. It's available in a few states. I wouldn't be surprised if Tesla launches robotaxi. Is it available in California, you guys? Can somebody in the chat tell me if Tesla insurance is available in California? It's definitely available in Texas, and so it makes sense. So Texas is sort of this holy grail of friendly regulations around autonomous vehicles. You know, like, so there's no city or county specific regulations. It's statewide, and the localities can't impose it is available. Okay, thank you. So that's another one that's going to come live here soon. So the cities and localities cannot impose self-driving regulation on the company. The state regulates the autonomous vehicle technology. So it's up to the manufacturer to decide how far they want to go. Right. So Waymo's geofence area is not dictated by the state, it's dictated by Waymo. So from an insurance perspective for Tesla, they are likely, so the signal is, if they're launching in states where they also have insurance, right? By default, that's going to mean they're going to insure their own vehicles. They've collected all this data around the fleet where they have insurance already. And in a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different cases, they're much cheaper than other competitors, especially if you use FSD a lot, right? And so if I were Tesla, I just insure it myself. I mean, how could you not? Like, why would you want to sort of like bring on this additional layer of cost with a company potentially that doesn't truly understand the cost benefit analysis or the actual math behind having a self-driving vehicle? Because you know, a lot of these insurance companies are probably going to be very, very conservative at first because they don't truly understand the technology. So they're likely going to massively overcharge on the technology in the case of injury, death, something goes wrong, you know, some sort of damage to the vehicle because of the self-driving operation. So, you know, your usual insurance companies that would insure this are going to go way above, whereas Tesla's like, we know the data. We have it all. We understand it fully. We will insure it. Because what does that do long term? As self-driving vehicles become safer, right? 2 times, 3 times, 10x, 20x safer than a human, that money that you would have paid another insurance company that wouldn't have realized that type of performance from the technology as quickly as you want them to, all of a sudden, you can use that for pricing power. So you're not overpaying for insurance, because that becomes your second biggest cost. When you don't have a driver, that automatically becomes your biggest part of the cost structure for the vehicle. Right. Why would you give that to somebody else to manage for you when you're trying to scale this in the hundreds of thousands of units per year, right? So I think long-term, Tesla's going to bring insurance in-house. They're already doing it in all the locations that they can. And then over time, they'll have enough data that says, like, look at how safe this is. Like, why wouldn't you insure this? It's like, basically, like, the chance of injury or death is, like, basically non-existent, especially in relation to a vehicle that's like myself. Like, I'm paying $150 a month on my Cybertruck, right? The Cybertruck's probably going to be like $20, right? Because the chance of death and injury is basically not going to exist because of how safe they are, you know?
Tesla 327 after hours. What do you think about regulations? Like, because Waymo, Tesla, all these guys are going to have the same regulations to an extent.
Yes.
So when is that unleashed for the entire industry, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, so Secretary Duffy, the new Secretary of Transportation for the United States, just did a tour of the Tesla Giga Texas here in Austin, sort of talking about how important it is to have a national federal framework for autonomous vehicles. And that shouldn't be a surprise to hear, since Elon was associated with the Trump administration. And that's probably one of those big wins that Elon's going to get from siding with Trump, is that you're going to have a Secretary of Transportation that's going to be willing to take on a federal framework for autonomous vehicles. Now, Tesla wins, Waymo wins, Zooks wins, all autonomous vehicle players are going to win from this regulation. So the question becomes, who can make the most cars that can drive in as many places as possible? Right. And there's only one player that has the scale. And so in any regulatory wins, Tesla's going to have an outsized win because of how many cars they build and how fungible those cars are and how many different areas you can operate them because of the technology that they use.
So do you think that's a year out, 2 years out? How are you kind of thinking universally we get these regulations? Because we need that for the robotaxi thing to be official, right?
Well, we need that for the earnings to come to fruition in the way that investors expect.
Right.
For sure. I do think that there is a level of recognition that's going to happen anyway. If there are, like, let's say Tesla launches in states that are already friendly. So Florida, Texas, California, Arizona, Nevada, as an example, right?
Right.
Michigan's another one, by the way. Michigan's like the sixth one that's like random, but they have very friendly autonomous vehicle regulations. In those six markets, you can prove out the thesis very quickly with Tesla, right? That's very nice. He's talking about you, Amit, by the way. These six states, okay, are very friendly in autonomous vehicle regulations. And outside of California, there's sort of statewide regulations. So in those states, Tesla can prove out the thesis and say, okay, we're just going to dump Teslas everywhere. We're going to undercut Uber by 20-30%, okay? And then that same graph we saw with the Waymo overtaking Lyft, and then if the thesis plays out, we'll see the same exact thing happen with Tesla, and it'll become a majority of the rideshare miles in those regions very quickly. And if we see that happening in those regions, again, it's just an extrapolation. It's like why wouldn't a locality approve self-driving regulations when the cost of transportation goes down when you do that? It is an unlock for the economy. People can go to work cheaper. You can move goods from place to place cheaper. Okay. Eventually, when they make it to semi vehicles, the cost of running freight from state to state gets cheaper. It might get as cheap as a train, and it'll get you there much quicker than a train would. Okay. These are economic unlocks. This is how you open up the economy. This is how you create value. This is how you make this country a better place for people to live in. And safety goes up. Then, which means deaths come down. And if deaths comes down, that's how is that not a wonderful justification for having that technology? So there will be a forcing function for these places to adopt the technology. It could take 2 years, it could take 5 years, okay? But if it works in those states that are already friendly, okay, my assumption, and if the market doesn't do this, then it's whatever, it's the market. I'm not gonna force them to do it, because it's literally impossible. I'm assuming the market's going to see that math and be like, okay, Tesla is majority rideshare miles by lot in the regions that they can operate. Why wouldn't that be the same in every other place that they go live in?
Right.
And it's just a math exercise, right? And then on top of that, the per unit manufacturing of these cars with the Cybercabs especially, it's going to be sub 30,000, okay? One of the things that we have to think through is like, this is not just rideshare miles. This is like, yo, I'm just going to own a car that I don't have to drive.
Yeah.
What's the market for that? Okay. Because they're not that expensive. It's a Model Y, the monthly payment for a Model Y, all in with gas and insurance and your payment, et cetera, is the same or less than a RAV4. Mm. And it can drive itself. Who wouldn't want that car?
Do you think this is going to be a 80-20 split between Tesla and all the competitors, or 50-50, or like, does it have to be 90-10? How do you think this plays out in the next 4 or 5 years?
I think it depends on the region. I think they're going to have a tougher time getting a, say, 50 plus market share in places like China, again, because the labor cost to drive in China is very, very low, because we're just dealing with different labor rates, right? And the competition in China is much better. I still feel like Tesla has a significant advantage from a self-driving perspective, but now, like, it's not like you're not fighting against premium driver labor rates. You're fighting against people who are willing to drive, again, like 10 cents a mile or whatever it is. So I think in places where it's expensive, more expensive to drive relative to other places, so like developed, like truly developed nations like Europe and America, I think Tesla's going to have, dude, like, I might sound like a maniac, but like 90% plus market share when it comes to like miles driven, like by rideshare over time, as the regulations open and they flood the market with these cars, right? Because the economic forcing function is too big to ignore. Again, because of that per unit cost, the safety, they own the insurance stack, they own the entire self-driving stack, they own the app, they own the manufacturing, they control every bit of cost that goes into offering the service. Uber can't do that.
I was just going to get into that. Your boy Gary Black sold everything at 360 and
my boy
dumped it into Uber. Two questions. A, was it weird for him as an institutional money manager to sell before the biggest event in Tesla's history, Robotaxi? And B, is shifting that money to Uber, is that going to be a better way to allocate capital over the next 5 years, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into Gary's head. I really respect Gary. Gary is my boy. He really is my boy. That poor guy gets beat up, and he doesn't shy from speaking his mind, and I really respect that. I do consider him a friend. I really do. But I think he is so unbelievably wrong about the Uber story that I think it's going to come back and bite him in the ass. I don't understand how Uber can be competitive with Tesla. I just don't understand it. What is Uber's entire like thing? Okay, the reason why they exist is because they pair a human driver with a human rider. Okay, what happens when you no longer have a human driver? All of a sudden, they become a network where they pair self-driving vehicles with a human rider. But think about that for a second. The platform, in a lot of regions, those human drivers are going to have to compete with a self-driving vehicle if they were on Uber's platform. Okay,
right.
And Uber has an incentive to keep those drivers on the platform, because if they stop doing rides because they can't be cost competitive with the self-driving vehicle, the number of units they have on the road plummets. And so the availability of the service plummets. And so for Uber and those other manufacturers to put the cars on the Uber platform, they're nowhere near the scale of Tesla to be able to compete with the riderless, with the driverless miles they're going to be able to offer, because they're only going to have a handful of self-driving cars relative to what Tesla is going to be able to offer. So for Uber to be able to have the wait times as low as they have it now, they have to artificially boost the prices for the self-driving vehicles so that their drivers don't leave the platform, because otherwise they won't be able to make a living. In a world where Tesla...
What if Uber has massive amounts of self-driving cars? What if they
from
have...
From who?
From the Waymos, the Zooks, maybe some Teslas. Do you think that could...
They're not going to have Teslas.
Why?
Why would Tesla give them... Why would Tesla give their cars to Uber? What is the economic forcing function for Tesla to do that?
You think there's going to be zero chance that...
Zero.
So then Uber is going to have to rely on any other self-driving car besides a Tesla to
Correct.
Just fill the supply side of their network, essentially.
Correct. Correct. And every other, and Tesla makes more self-driving vehicles per year than everyone else combined times 500.
What if Uber just buys the Teslas though? And they...
They will have to operate on the Tesla network. That it is literally set in stone. It's like written on the thing. Okay. And Elon has been very public about this. There will be, if you want to operate the Tesla as a robotaxi, it has to be done on the Tesla network. Okay. What, like truly think about it. Like, why would you give up that pricing power to Uber? It makes no sense. You have to give 15% of the per mile cost to Uber for them to even have the app. Tesla, dude, like, look at this. Okay. What is this thing right here? Look. They have an app. Okay.
Weirdo? That's the name of your
Weirdo. That's Weirdo? The name of my... Yeah, because it's weird. Look at it, right? Weirdo. It's just chilling, okay? They already have an app. And that's Uber. Uber, like, I get it. It's fleet management, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It's an app. It's an app.
It's an app with 170 million people using it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you... Wow. MySpace had an unbeatable moat. They had so many people on there. Wow. Look at how, you know, okay, think about this for a second. Elon Musk on X. Once this thing goes live in Austin, okay? Check out this post from Elon Musk. At Elon Musk, posted 5 seconds ago. Happy to announce Tesla Robotaxi is now live in Austin, Texas. Hail one today for 20% less than Uber. Download the Tesla app today.
Yes, 250 million followers.
Okay. Yeah. How hard, and then they are one, and then maybe they should put the app link right there, right? They should put the app link right there. Yeah, Grok would write exactly. Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, dude. It's like, it makes no sense in a world where the driver is yanked out of the cost structure of the car. How Uber is going to be competitive? It makes no sense to me. People are like, well, you know, there's the cleaning, there's the charging, there's all these things. Okay, wow, these are like impossible to solve for solutions. Of course they're not. You can come up with all kinds of solutions for that. You can put out bounties on the app. Hey, this Robotaxi is chilling on the supercharger in the stall. If you go plug it in right now, we'll give you $5. Hey, you want to clean this?
You don't think Uber is dead. You think their market share is going to...
I think Uber's dead.
Okay, so you're going full on.
I think Uber's dead. I think Uber is a worthless company in a world of robotaxi, Tesla robotaxi. Listen, this has nothing to do with the CEO, who I believe is Persian as well. Shout out. It has nothing to do with the staff, okay? Uber is an unbelievable value add company right now in our present day. But in a world where you have a company that can manufacture self-driving vehicles at will, in the millions of units per year, how do you compete with that? By default, for Uber to compete with Tesla, they would have to manufacture humans at will. They would have to manufacture drivers at will. They literally can't. How do they manufacture drivers? They increase the price so that there's an incentive for the driver to go on the network.
Right.
Tesla just shits one out of the factory.
I mean, look, you know, you're going to have Uber bulls give a counterpoint, but it, from a macro perspective, what you're saying is not like complicated to understand. One gets the cost per mile down. One has a fleet of self-driving vehicles. One has a better experience theoretically, because you don't have to talk to a driver who wants to know about your day. You can just sit in the back and chill.
Yeah.
And then one has better unit economics because they're more of a tech company.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, it makes no sense to me. The Uber value proposition in the world of a Tesla robotaxi at scale makes zero sense to me. And again, 1.7 million cars per year and no tipping. Dude, no tipping, privacy, comfort, consistent UI, consistent comfort. These Teslas, like when you sit in the Tesla, it's going to be customized to your preferences, right? You'll sit in, the AC will be set exactly where you want it. The music that you want playing will be playing. Whatever show you want to watch on the TV will be there, okay? You know you're going to get a comfortable car. You know it's going to be available because the idling costs of these things is going to be next to nothing. It's just going to be electricity costs to keep this thing going. You don't have to pay somebody to be just waiting around for you. And Uber doesn't have to like create surge pricing for drivers to be available for events that, like, let's say there's a lot of demand for drivers or whatever. Tesla just has to have enough cars available in a region for them to just go do that. And in the times where they don't have that, like the other thing that people talk about is like, okay, you have this peak trough issue with rideshare, right? Where most rides happen Friday nights and Saturday nights. What's another use case that can be used for self-driving vehicles? Food delivery, freight delivery, Amazon deliveries, okay? And you pair that with the human or robot, what happens? The human or, dude, how hard is it going to be? We saw the human or robot dancing around like a freaking maniac, okay? How many years is Tesla away from just teaching the human or robot how to sit down in the car and how to go pick up stuff from the trunk and set it down somewhere? How hard is that really? And the driving is going to be done by the car.
Most of the time when people order
Uber, it's over. It's game over.
And again, when people order Uber Eats and they have to go outside, it's not that complicated to just walk down your porch and then just open the trunk or open the door of the car, right, while it's waiting for you, instead of someone literally putting it at your door. Like there's, especially if it's cheaper, right? There's a lot of different ways that can work out in a way that allows Tesla to have better unit economics. Okay, so we got 2 minutes left. Ultimately, your argument here is that robotaxi is happening. Uber is not going to be able to compete in the new world. Waymo will compete, but they're not going to get market share. So my final question for Farzad is Q2, bad Europe sales, Cybertruck, they're doing
zero. It's going to be dog.
Okay, so how do you, I mean, you're not really like a macro focus on the stock guy, but like, how do you think of the stock here at the 300? Like, is it risky to you, or you have such a long trajectory that even if Q2 can be dog shit, you don't care?
People should not, I mean, I think your audience is very smart when it comes to like the next 1 to 365 days. I think that's where you provide an unbelievable amount of value and your audience is super smart. You also provide a ton of value for really long-term stories like Tesla, Nvidia, Robinhood, all these stories, Palantir, right?
I was about to say, don't forget the main one. Don't forget her.
Tesla, you mean? No, Palantir. So I would encourage your audience to think about the Tesla story like the Palantir story. Palantir has, what is it, $1 billion of free cash flow per year, right? And they have, what's their valuation?
300.
Okay. I feel like I have an easier time justifying Tesla than I do Palantir.
It's like, it's so hard for us to talk. I was looking at stock, I was like, guys, this one looks kind of expensive. The whole chat was like, bro, you own Palantir. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, y'all motherfuckers in the chat talking shit about Tesla, talk shit about Palantir. What the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. I keep cursing. I'm sorry.
No, you're sorry.
I don't mean to.
So basically you're saying, look, the reason Palantir gets a multiple is because it's respected by the street, growing, et cetera. Tesla's not growing yet, but it will get that growth, and that's why that multiple is being pulled forward. Simple.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's it's this, in the same way that Palantir is being valued like that by the market, where I think they're just viewing the long-term potential as like undeniable. I think the Tesla story is very similar. It's just not a Tesla story. I think the Palantir story, in my opinion, I think the Palantir story is where Tesla was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And y'all need another 4 to 5 years for it to really start getting that valuation recognized in the next phase of the company recognized, whereas I think Tesla is literally just about to start their next leg, and the last 4 years has been sort of this consolidation period for people that want to get out of the stock to get the previous profits, and the new people that are coming in that want to profit off of Robotaxi and bot. So that's how I view it, but I could be wrong. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I mean, obviously. So we'll see what happens.
I love it. Farzad's Twitter right there in the chat. Farzad, actual last question for you. All this brand damage people talk about with Elon and all the Trump stuff, ultimately, I think your belief is Elon
irrelevant.
Irrelevant. And you're going to move on.
Irrelevant long term for sure. So Farzad's hitting the ketamine. I wish. I'm just naturally psychotic. You know, my wife loves it. Yo, everybody, like, subscribe. Okay. Follow Emmett on YouTube.
I'm supposed to be telling people to do that for you. Okay?
No. Do that for me. Emmett is the GOAT finance channel on YouTube. This dude has been working his ass off like a maniac. This guy, naturally retarded.
Dude, my chat, I will say,
I don't disagree.
I have the best chat on YouTube. I don't care.
You
what
do.
I don't care.
You do. Anything. You do. But freaking Emmett, dude, I'm serious, man. I'm so fucking proud of you. You do such incredible work. I'm truly so impressed by your work ethic and just how knowledgeable you are. And I think you deserve the success, and you're just getting started. And I can't wait to see where you go. AK Media merch. Go check it out. Oh, wait, it's not live yet because this guy doesn't want to make merch. Hurry up. Let's go. You can do it.
Thank you, Farzad.
All right, brother.
Link will be YouTube in the description. Thank you, Farzad. I'll see you next time. Thank you, brother.
Love you, man. Love you, everybody.
Later. Bye.